Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I'm Alyssa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls who started recapping The Last Kingdom in season three, so we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia. Jessica, how are you doing?
Woo! It's been a week. So I feel like last episode we like fangirled out about the Emmys.
Yeah.
And it's going to get real serious in our small talk this episode because some shit has gone down.
We're kind of living through I think it's going to be a pretty crazy period of history. It already is a pretty crazy period of history.
Dark times.
Yeah.
Dark times.
Yeah. So Democrats are pushing forward with the impeachment inquiry. Nancy Pelosi decided to do her job.
Oh, my God. Did you see that tweet? It's basically like a 6-second clip of like Pelosi like coming up to the podium to like take questions from the press. Uh-huh. Someone was like, this is me like coming in like 5 minutes late with my like streusel and my coffee to like work because her face is just like it's like a deer in headlights because I just don't think they thought this would ever. I don't think they had ever really planned to do this.
Right.
And I think things are pushing them to do it.
Sure.
And yeah, it's hilarious. You've got to find it. But that's the only way I survive these things is like memes and GIFs on Twitter.
It's kind of crazy. Like the life cycle of a meme is insane to me. Like it was within just like an hour or less of, you know, the news coming out. And people were already had like Photoshop stuff, videos. And I'm just like, have you just had this waiting in your drafts for this moment to come? Like, how do people work so quickly? I don't understand.
That's what I'm saying. Are they just, like, waiting by their computer for, like, something to happen? And also, it's like, some of these memes and GIFs and things are just so fucking clever that it, like, pisses me off. Because I'm like,
who thinks so quickly on their feet?
It's high art is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it really bothers me when someone is just, like, so, like, witty and snappy and, like, it's not even... They don't even have to try.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know. I'm not that good at Twitter. I mean, I'm okay, but like I don't have the energy to just have something clever to say about every single thing that happens. I can't live like that.
It's so annoying. And you know what is worse? Mm. We work with people
who are good at
Sci-Fi Wire fangirls. Who are so fucking good at Twitter, okay?
I know.
And then you get to our accounts, our handles, and it's like, I had toast for breakfast today. Or so. I mean, it's such a drop-off.
Listen, so, but everybody also follow us on Twitter. We are kind of funny sometimes.
I mean, sometimes we're funny, I think, yeah. So I'm not, like, selling us very
well. I know,
well.
But, like, also, yeah, I totally get
it. But you know what? All of our, like, fun coworkers also tweet with us on Twitter, so, like, there's another incentive.
Right, right. We may not be as good as Carly and Courtney, but we do our best.
God, Courtney is so fucking good, and it pisses me off.
I know. Go follow Courtney.
Love you,
Courtney. Go follow Courtney Enlow. She's amazing. Anyway.
She's the best.
But yeah, so America's in turmoil. It's fine. It's not fine, but
it's all right. We're going to be fine.
I feel like we're entering and like, it's going to be such an ugly, but necessary period. And I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah. I'm worried about how certain people are going to take it. I don't know. I see the pros and cons of both. I think it's like, what, we have like one more year to just suffer through him, but also that's a year that he could really just, I mean, look what they've already been able to do. And
I think it's more a matter of principle at this point. You know what I mean? Like, the damage has been done, but like,
right.
Somebody needs to answer for it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of micro or macro troubles in the world. How's like, you know, the smaller side of life doing?
Oh my God. It's so good, Alyssa. So, yeah, that's sarcasm.
Yeah.
No, my roommate, who shall remain unnamed, because I she's still going through it. It's like the worst, and I feel so terrible for her. Had her identity stolen.
Nightmare.
This week. Such a nightmare. And if you've ever seen that movie with Melissa McCarthy and Jason Bateman, where it makes it seem like, oh, it can be like a fun road trip at the end of it. And, you know, like they become friends and all this different stuff. That's not how it is.
That's awful.
So just like be careful of the information that you give out to people, and recognize too that like sometimes people, I mean, like you hear these stories and you think like, okay, well, there are tons of red flags. You shouldn't give out this information. You know that. Why did you do that? But there are like certain points of your life where you're very vulnerable and you don't even realize it. Mm. And so, and people can like take advantage of that. So just with this, like they were able to just really scare the shit out of her and tell her that someone had already stolen her identity and that there were arrest warrants out for her in Texas.
What?
And I mean, they took it to the next level. It was like she got transferred to an officer with Social Security Administration. They gave her case ID numbers and warrant numbers. I mean, it was very elaborate.
Wow.
So they're getting smarter about how they do it. And they're really like, they really try to scare you like up front so that everything after is just a rush to like fix this problem that they've told you exists. Mm-hmm. When it doesn't. So just be careful. And you know what? Like one, so we had to have police officers over to our house, mm-hmm. just to take a statement for her. And my dumbass, I'm like over here, like cleaning the kitchen. I put some Elton John on. I light a candle. I just really want to set the mood.
Right.
It's like a eucalyptus anti-stress candle.
Everybody needs to just chill out. Yeah.
Let's all chill. Yeah, that's my thinking. Let me put on some Rocket Man. It'll be fine.
Right.
The police officer did say one really interesting thing, which was like, so if you ever have an arrest warrant out on you, Alyssa, they're not going to call your ass. They're just going to come pick you up. Like, they know, they'll find out where you are and they'll come get you. So if anyone ever like starts off a scam saying there's an arrest warrant out for you, did you know that? Like, that's a lie.
Yeah.
So just be careful of your shit. Don't give it out to people.
Yeah.
Don't trust people. The world is terrible. People are terrible. And yeah, that's, you know, glass half full, I guess.
Yeah. Wow.
The world is terrible. Trust no one.
Right.
And that's all I can say about that.
Wow. Yeah. Well, trusting no one is a pretty good segue into this episode, I think. Season two of episode two.
Uhtred has basically been the victim of identity theft in this episode.
Kind of. He really, it's a rough one.
He's getting sold into slavery. His uncle is telling people to call him Osbert. He's not Uhtred anymore.
Which, like, who could look at him and be like, yes, that is a man named Osbert. Mm. Absolutely.
That's an Osbert right there.
Absolutely not. But yeah, let's get into it. So Kjartan sends his men to find Uhtred. And Citric is there, which is good.
Oh, Citric.
I loved, like, you know, the crew coming together a little bit more.
Hey, and I totally forgot that Citric was Kjartan's, like, bastard son.
Me too! I completely forgot about that. And I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I guess that was a thing. But yeah, I definitely forgot about that too. But yeah, Uhtred is busy, you know, trying to shape up Gutrid's men. You know, I always love a training scene. That's kind of fun. And I'm not the only one, because Gisla was there watching it, not so subtly biting her lip. Like, she was super into it. Like, they're into each other. It's great.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of sexual tension this episode between them. Lots of long looks.
I love a longing look.
And gotta love it. But you know who doesn't love it? The priest.
Ugh,
of course.
Always causing fucking trouble.
Boner patrol over here.
I've seen you look at my sister.
Well, she attracts the eye, what can I say?
Gisela has value.
As do I.
Yeah, so Uhtred obviously has a thing for Gisela. I mean, he's gone probably like a year without a girlfriend, so that's a long time for him.
He took his time, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. but like, sadly, Gisela is not the right choice. I love her. Mm-hmm. And she's I really come to like her this episode because we get to see a little bit more of who she is and her principles and things like that. She's a strong woman, but she is not the right choice right now, bro. Like, you're still trying to get in good with her brother. You know that she is the sister of a king. Mm-hmm. She has a political purpose. She can't just, like, marry for love. So, yeah, so shagging her in the tent is not the best choice. And yet, that's what our Uhtred does.
Yeah, they get there. It's, you know, it's they talk in this episode a lot about sort of the roles that these women have to play with, you know, Gisla and a little bit with Athelflaed, too, that, you know, they don't have a lot of political power on their own, but they do have a lot of political power in the fact that they're used basically as pawns for their brother, for their father. And, you know, they have power in their, you know, inherent value, which feels really gross to say, but it's true. But it's not power for themselves. It's power for whosoever side they're on. And so she, you know, she has a job to do, which is to marry well and, you know, get Guthred his allies. But, you know, when Uhtred's walking around looking so fine, who can blame a girl?
Seriously. And Gisla's not about that life. Like, she's very independent.
Yeah.
And she has this talk with Uhtred in the chapel. Sexy talk in the chapel.
Love it.
I love it. But she's she's very like clear that, you know, she is not, she plays this role to appease her brother and to appease the priests, and but she's not a Christian. She doesn't consider herself one, and she also doesn't see herself as a pawn. She doesn't want to be used that way. Mm-hmm. She asks Uhtred to kind of warn her if he hears her brother like plotting to marry her off to someone,
right,
because she's going to decide what she needs to do. And so, you know, I think that almost is like a signal to Uhtred, like, okay, I can pursue this woman because she's going to tell me if she wants me to or not. She's not going to go, you know, with the status quo and what her brother tells her to do. So if I'm having feelings for her, I should just like jump in.
Right.
Not what you should do, but
not what you should do when there are other priests wandering around fully willing to narc on you, like 100% going to sell you out.
Yeah. So I think we need to discuss that, because that to me felt like a very big issue this episode with Guthred. So Guthred starts out really cool. Obviously, last episode he was
Uhtred.
Mm-hmm. Loved him, and it feels like, again, I'm not sure how much time has passed.
It's unclear.
Maybe a few weeks, maybe a couple months. I don't know.
I would probably say a few months, because it looked like they had sort of gotten the town under control again. Guthred was a little bit more established in his kingliness, and that kind of stuff doesn't happen overnight. So I would probably say, probably between 6 months and a year.
I mean, it's got to be long enough for these tensions to have kind of simmered.
Sure.
Because when we see them this episode, there's a strain in that relationship. And you see it like in subtle ways. And I think, you know, the priest, so Brother Abbot is kind of just in Guthred's ear, you know, spewing all this shit about how Uhtred could rise up, how he has the loyalty of the men, he inspires the men, but that's his job. He's leader of the army. It's just, you see what a precarious position Uhtred is in, because you need to gain favor with the king to get these kind of positions, but you can't gain so much loyalty and inspire so many people that you're seen as a threat to the throne. And so Uhtred, of course, has no idea that that's how, you know, Guthred is viewing him now and what people are saying. He's just going about his own way, cocky-ass self, doing what he wants to do. And that only kind of proves, you know, what Brother Abbot is saying to Guthred. And it's sad, because I felt like they had a good, like, little bromance
at the beginning
going.
Well, the thing is Uhtred's getting it from all sides, you know? Like, Kjartan's men show up and they lie their way into Guthred's good favor. And then, like, you know, they're cornering Uhtred in the stable and trying to kill him or trying to take him away to, you know, serve his purpose to Kjartan or whatever. And luckily, like, Haleg and the giant dude with the mustache, Klappa.
It's Klappa. Yeah. I always remember that because it's just clap.
Whoa, that's a good one.
I'm so smart.
But yeah, so like, they come and save him. They kill all the guys except for Cedric, who's allowed to live. And yeah, thank but God. Like everybody kind of is out to get Uhtred in this episode, which sucks because, you know, in other areas of his life, things are going really well. Like he has a purpose. He's in love with Gisela. Like, you know, it's not so bad. But then everybody's starting these horrible whisper campaigns against him and he can't just enjoy things for a while. He's not allowed.
Promise me you won't do anything stupid.
How can I make a promise that I cannot keep? Stupid is in my nature. Mm-hmm.
Things are never going to be easy for Uhtred.
Never.
And, you know, it sucks. Like, so, you know, Bjelka has to go. Basically, what they want to do, what Uhtred wants Guthrid to do is march north. Mm-hmm. So they've won some victories. They've got some men.
They're going to go and establish themselves at Efferwich and, like,
right.
set up a stronghold.
So they want to take up that town. And then, you know, the plan is to keep marching and to, you know, take Kjartan's kind of fortress that he has mm-hmm. that's like impenetrable, I guess, and then go on to Bebbanburg. So Uhtred has a plan in place, and he kind of has to, like, every step of the way, like, make sure that Guthrid is on board. And Guthrid, of course, can't, you know, wipe his own ass, let alone march his men, without a priest telling him that it's God's will. So there's that kind of push and pull, that back and forth between them, because Uhtred is just gung-ho, and he knows he has to take advantage of the momentum. He has a warrior's mind, and that's the way he thinks. And you can tell that Guthrid is swayed a little bit more by the priest than he was in the last episode, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think that causes most of the trouble in their relationship, and it's hard.
It's a lot. And
I thought things were, like, looking up for Uhtred.
They're not. They're really, really not. And it's hard because, you know, he loses some allies. Like, Bjelka heads back to Wessex, bringing some of St. Cuthbert's teeth to Alfred, which, you know.
What a gift.
Yikes. And I kind of laughed. Like, I liked it. I just, you know, when Bjelka is great, he's great. You know, like, sometimes mm-hmm. he drives me crazy and I'm like, ugh, please shut up. You're the worst. But also, I really, when he and Uhtred are getting along, I love it. And I liked it when, you know, he tells him not to do anything stupid because he wants him to survive. And I loved it when Uhtred tells him stupid is in my nature. I just, you know, Uhtred's great. And it's funny because, like, you know, I feel like recently everybody's talking about sapiosexuals and, like, oh, like, I love hot, you know, people who are smart. That's what I really love. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you just like a hot dummy. That's fine. It's mm-hmm. fine. And Uhtred, God bless him, is sometimes a hot dummy. But he knows
you
that.
Know, he's smart enough, though.
Right. Yeah. He knows that
about himself now.
Yeah.
After all of the shit he's done, he's recognized that about himself. No, that goodbye was so sweet and so emotional. I was really surprised by, like, how emotional they both got about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I know when he says that, you know, the only priest he would have at Bebbanburg is Bjelka.
Is Bjelka? Oh, God.
I know.
It was, yeah. There was a little tear coming out of my eye. So I think losing Bjelka, again, that's a measuring influence on him that he doesn't have. And even when he, you know, goes, Bjelka's like, dude, watch out for these priests. Like, they do not
like you.
They don't believe that you, you know, are a Christian and all of this stuff. And they're going to be out to get you. And it's like, Uhtred almost kind of, like, shrugs it off in a way.
Yeah.
And again, it's that thing of underestimating his opponent, and he sees these guys in robes and thinks, you know, I'm good with the king. I'm fine.
Right.
I'm leading this army.
He's Katie
it's
Heron.
It's going to be totally cool.
He's Katie Heron, and they're totally going to mean girl him. Like, totally, 100%.
Oh, my God, so true.
Yeah.
That's what these priests are.
Yeah.
They're the plastics.
100%.
I think Uhtred was warned, and there were plenty of signs mm-hmm. that he should have paid attention to, like screaming at Brother Abbott, you know, while you're trying to decide whether to kill Citric or not. Not the best move. Like,
yeah.
he just doesn't have that subtle, like, he doesn't have that politician's mind of, like, let me play the game.
Right.
And I'm still in it for myself and I'm going to do what I want, but let me play the game so they think that I'm going along. He needs to take, like, some lessons from fucking Gisela, because that's what she's been doing this whole damn time.
Right. Yeah, no, she is very much, you know, she pays attention to what people are saying and she sort of measures her response because of that, you know? Like,
yeah.
she is not going to fly off the handle. She knows that she has to think things through because she doesn't always have a ton of options.
I would like to have some of their mail or leather. I will earn it by taking the first head.
You can take what you want. Just Just take it.
No, I will earn it.
You earned it at the stage.
I need to become accustomed.
Another person taking advantage of all of her options is Hild, taking on some armor, earning that armor by cutting off a head with a knife. Like, yikes, that is probably the hardest way to do that.
A kitchen knife, dude. I mean, it looked blunt as hell.
Yeah.
And she
cut off
really
that head,
let
though.
It go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. She got some rage issues out there. And I was like, I was a little taken aback. I was like, oh,
I think
Hild.
Everybody was. All right, Hild, that is a darker side
Alex
of you.
Was over there like, oh, shit, yeah. Girl. Like, we use the axe.
Right.
You don't have
She's
to do
like,
it this
Nope,
way.
We're going to do it the hard way. I'm going to earn this. And woof, she does.
Well, you know, to me, it makes sense, though, because Hild, since the beginning of the season, has been kind of on this path of like, I want to learn sword skill. I want to be able to protect myself. Mm-hmm. And this is just for her, I think in her mind, it's just another way of, you know, taking another step on that path because she's got to learn what it feels like to really stab a man and to cut off their head and to be that brutal and to be unfeeling in that way, because that's what it's going to take to defend herself in this world. And I think she realizes that, especially if she's riding with Uhtred, who gets into all kind of, you know, trouble whenever. So it was a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a choice.
Yeah.
But I think it was the right choice.
Yeah, it was. I think, you know, she's doing what she has to do. I'm so impressed with how, you know, with how the show handles different. We've talked about this in the past, but I think it's really apparent in this episode how different types of women are allowed to exist. You know, you've got Hild, who is deeply religious and also learning, you know, how to be a swordswoman. And then you have Gisela, who's a little bit more shrewd and a little bit more ambitious in a different way. And then, you know, you see a little bit of Athelflaed training and you see her mother. Ooh. And, you know, you see a bunch of different kinds of women and each of them are different. And I like that it's sort of presented that there are different types of strength instead of just like, I'm going to wield a sword and kick your ass. There's a lot more nuance to it, which I think is truer to actual women. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting when you look at how women are like held up against the men. I feel like we see a lot more variety in the women on this show than we do in the men. So
yeah.
I really appreciate that. And that's not something I thought we would have when we started the show. Mm-hmm. So I think the more we dig into it with this podcast, like the more we realize that, you know, talking about Mildred last season and kind of seeing her in a new light, I feel like I see Gisela in a new light because when we, you know, binge watched it a long time ago, I was just like, well, this is another girl for Uhtred. You know what I mean? It's easy to.
Yeah. And I think if anything, Gisela might err on the side of being a little bit too perfect. You know, like she's like she's a good political player. She's super smart. She's super, you know, savvy. And also she's, you know, in love with Uhtred and she doesn't really have a lot of flaws, but at least not yet. And I think that's, I mean, it's a little one dimensional, but at the same time, you know what? It's fine.
We'll take it.
Fine.
Well, I think we need to talk about two. So Gisela and Uhtred hooking up is a big deal in the episode, but there's also Siegfried and Eric.
Yes.
Who hook up with Guthrid.
Yes.
In a different way.
Just your name? I'm called Citric Lord. Please, I'm not loyal to Kjartan and never can be.
You swear your sword is mine?
On Thor's hammer. I do, Lord.
Yeah, you know, you have Adred, the brother Abrit, who's, you know, he's whispering in Uhtred, or not in Uhtred, Guthrid. Uhtred and Guthrid are too similar. They're killing me with these names.
God, well, the names,
I know.
Yeah.
Guthrid is like, you know, he loves Uhtred, whatever, he sees his value. But Adred is like, hey, man, yeah, you're not the only one seeing his value. Everybody else is like all on his jock, too. So maybe start to assert yourself a bit more. But I feel like in trying to put his foot down, he really just shoots himself in the same foot. Like, he calls for Eric and Siegfried to come and sort of meet with them when they really could have easily just wiped them out, which may not be the most diplomatic way to handle it, but it would probably be better for them in the long run.
Okay, so I'm happy that they didn't do that because our sweet Danish cream puff is safe. But,
I would not call him a Danish cream puff, but like, okay, yeah, I get it.
Don't
listen. You're right.
He
is a secret softie. It's fine. It's fine.
He is okay. but for me, Guthred, it's really interesting to see how kind of docile Guthred is, yes, in a way, because so he's grown up, and I get it, because he's grown up in slavery. You're beaten down constantly, mm-hmm, like that shapes a person.
Sure.
But now that you're king and you have this power, I would think you would look back on that time as a slave and be like, you know what? I can't let anyone step on me. I can't let anyone get something over on me, because that's what happens.
Yeah.
And that is not how he approaches this meeting with Eric and Siegfried. He is all about kind of extending this olive branch and, you know, combining their forces to take on Kiartan, which is a semi-smart plan, except that he just totally takes them at their word and is like, yeah, you guys say that we should just, like, you know, surround the fortress and wait them out and not let them have food and all of this stuff and kind of just kill them slowly. Totally, I'm down.
Right.
But if you think about that plan, that's going to take a long-ass time. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to keep all of your men sober and in the fight. Like, they're going to have – you're going to have to keep spirits and morale up for a very long time.
Right.
You're going to have to feed and water and clothe all your men
it's
for that long.
It's a huge –
they're going to be away from their farms.
Right.
It's a lot.
It's a huge endeavor, and one that I don't think he has the resources to support at this point in time.
He doesn't, and Uhtred knows it.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, after everything that just happened with Kiartan's men, like, they tried to join the guard and they've turned out to be evil, whatever. And then he's immediately ready to, like, let these dudes in and totally discount Uhtred's word, even though, you know, Uhtred has given him no reason to doubt him at this point. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's frustrating that he makes such, I don't know, such easily avoided mistakes just because he wants to, you know, assert himself in a way that's not how Uhtred would do it.
It's been put in his mind that Uhtred is some kind of, he's in some kind of competition with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the easiest way to piss Uhtred off and to go against him and to show that he's got his own mind. And it's just
but
so
he doesn't
petty
really,
and childish.
He doesn't really have
he
his
doesn't,
own mind.
No.
Honestly, it makes me miss Alfred. Like, we barely see Alfred in this episode. We barely saw him in the last one. And, like, yes, we have definitely talked our fair share of shit about Alfred. But at the same time, you always know that it's Alfred making those decisions. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, Alfred is his own man. And Alfred, like, even when he's the worst, he's still compelling and interesting. You know what I mean? Guthred, he's so easy.
He's a wet blanket.
He is a wet blanket. He's absolutely spineless. And I'm sick of him already.
I feel like he's not going to be long for this world because so Guthred, you know, makes this this pact with Eric and Siegfried.
Mm-hmm.
He also is listening to Brother Abbott, and Brother Abbott is planning, you know, behind everyone's back. He sends Brother True up north to bargain with Uhtred's uncle,
yeah,
thinking, you know, if we're going to do this whole wait them out plan, we're going to need more men. We're going to want Christian men. We're not going to want Vikings. We're not going to want Danes. We're going to want people that we know are loyal to us because of their faith.
Right. And Aelfric still hates
a stupid thought.
Right. Right. Like,
yeah,
that's not,
oh,
you know, that's not a wrong thought, but, like, geez, the backhanded way he did it is so gross.
It's manipulative. Yeah,
but,
for sure.
But yeah, shitty Uncle Aelfric still hates Uhtred, even though he's the one who wronged him so badly. But he's still like, ugh, Uhtred, as long as he lives and breathes, my kingdom isn't safe. It's just the worst.
Because it's not your kingdom.
It's not
dude.
Yours. You stole
you tried
it.
To kill a little boy.
Right. Right.
God.
I know.
The nerve of white men, man. It's just, it's insane. And so, yeah, so Abbott and, what is his name? I just don't even care to remember.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Abbott and the asshole.
Okay, the Abbott who's, like, really plotting is named Adred. And then the okay. uncle is Aelfric. Very similar okay. names.
Adred and Aelfric.
Yes.
All right, fuck both those guys,
right.
But they're plotting together.
Yes.
And in the meantime, Uhtred is having a good old time with Gisela.
Mm.
Their romance is really kind of taken off. They're, like, braiding each other's hair and telling each other secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to Guthred and...
Well, first he goes over to Dunholm, to Kjartan's place. And,
oh,
like,
yeah, the stakes.
Yeah, he leaves the head on heads on the stakes as a message and, like, you know, does the undead horse.
He does a little
landscaping.
He does
the dead... He does the dead horseman bit again, just to like let Kjartan know that he's coming for
just
him.
For fun.
Just for funsies, you know. It's Halloween.
Shits
it's,
and giggles.
It's Halloween soon. Come he on. Might as well dress up.
I'm sure that had to make him feel good too. Because
yeah, it looks like
Kjartan
a great time.
Is just the fucking worst.
Yeah, he's awful.
And your ancestor
yes.
gets killed.
Fiska, bye. The family's ashamed of you. It's fine.
God. then he comes back and Guthrum's like, yo, man, where you been? And
Uthred doesn't tell him, though. He's like,
getting some air.
Chilling out. It's fine.
Just went for a walk? Like, come on, man. But that kind of leads into this tense conversation that they have. Which is just so everything, every kind of exchange is so thinly veiled. You know, It's like Guthrum is joking with Uhtred about, oh, like, you know, all the men love you. Like, I could see you as a big threat. But he jokes about it, but it's not really a joke.
Right. But Uhtred knows that, too, and is like, you're right. I could be a big threat.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, oh, it was so uncomfortable to watch because I had a feeling of where it was going to go. And Uhtred thinks that this is the appropriate time to kind of wield any power or leverage he has
Mistake.
To demand Gisela's hand in marriage, which, dude,
he's already
you made some dumbass decisions, but this takes the cake.
Like, he's told him, like, a few scenes ago, hey, maybe you should, like, take a wife, but it's definitely 1,000% not going to be Gisela. So
yeah, I've got her like planned for something else.
Right.
So and, maybe hook up with him.
Right. And if anything, things have gotten more tense between them. So I don't know why Uhtred thought, yeah, this is my time. This is going to go well.
I mean, shoot your shot, but you got to time it right. Okay. And he does not do that. And so what ends up happening is, you know, Guthrum kind of just smiles through it and is like, yeah, sure, blah, blah, blah.
I learned humility as a slave, ha, 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 ha. with the unspoken second part being, and so will you. And
yeah. That's exactly what it was.
That's exactly what it is. And, you know, I guess, you know, you could say about Guthrum, at least he didn't cut off his head and send it to his uncle. But, like, yikes. This is almost, it's bad.
Worse?
It's worse.
This is the dude that, like, saved you, like, freed you from slavery, and now you're putting him in chains.
Yeah.
That's
some dark irony, dude. Like, that's.
It really
that
is.
That's not great.
Stomach churning stuff.
Oof.
Thankfully, though, Hild, our sweet Hild.
She's the best. She takes Uhtred's sword.
Saves his sword.
And gets the hell out of there. Because, like, with Haelig.
Gets the hell out of Dodge.
With Haelig and Uhtred gone, like, she doesn't have any allies anymore. So she.
No, yeah.
And, you know, I would worry about her because Guthrum talked about how he really liked her. So, like, I would worry what would be her fate if she had, like, stayed there, you know? So.
Yeah, I do not trust that.
Yeah,
dude.
Don't. So she, like, gets the hell out of Dodge and goes to find Alfred and is like, hey, I know you guys haven't, like, broed out in a while, but Uhtred really needs your help.
He is lost, Hild. I do not readily see how I can help him.
You cannot.
But Lord,
Hild, he could be across the seas by now.
Cannot be true. He is Uhtred.
He is lost, Father.
No! Father, it is Uhtred. He kept us safe.
Ethelfled, shush.
And Alfred's like, sorry, yo, what can I do from all the way down here?
Yeah, like, Aelswith is like, hell yeah, Uhtred's gone again. You know, Athelflaed.
He's already across the sea. Yeah. How will we ever
it's
find
too
him?
Hard. He hasn't turned on Find Your Friends on his phone. You'll never find him. And, you know, Athelflaed is like, Mom, quit being a bitch. It's, you know, it's Uhtred. He loves us and he saved us. And, like, we need to do the same. And Beoka was, like, ready to go for the mat, you know, go to the mat for him, too, which was really touching.
I'll search forever.
Right. I'll do it forever. Like, and they're like,
the end of my life.
And they're like, Beoka, you are not exactly an outdoorsman. You will not make it.
Good on you that you're going to search for your friend. That's real sweet. But, like, you ain't going to find
right.
him. So, you know, they, someone has the smart idea. I think it's
Otta.
Otta.
Yeah. He's over his head trauma.
Still
it's
repping.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Still doing the thing. He has a smart idea. Hey, we've got two Danes in custody. They're related to Uhtred. They would care about finding him.
And they're people of their word. Yeah.
And they're people of their word. Let's let Ragnar go find his brother. He's going to be the most invested. He's the most capable.
Alfred, to his credit, gets on board pretty quickly.
Pretty quick. Yeah. I mean, he's been having these like little like therapy sessions with Brita and Ragnar for a bit, though.
Right.
So it makes me think like he's gotten to know them and he knows that they are also, you know, honorable people. Mm-hmm. As much as he disagrees and maybe even dislikes Brita, I think he trusts them to keep their word. And so, yeah, that's how the episode ends. And I just got so excited because I really want to see Ragnar and Hild just having adventures together.
Yeah.
Finding Uhtred.
Yeah, like they set out. Uhtred gets put on a slaving ship. It's a rough time. It is a rough, rough time. It's a rough end of the episode. Sad. And you're just like, oh, this is not great.
Here we go again.
Speaking of
don't
memes.
I don't know why I expected any different.
Here we go again.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So now it's time for our next episode wishes. This is when we issue our demands for upcoming episodes, like the spoiled toddlers we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied. Alyssa, what do you want to see next episode?
Well, I'm super stoked to see Brita and Ragnar back in action. Even if it's terrible circumstances, like, I love them, and they're being wasted away in those prison cells. So I'm super stoked about that. And I just, the Uhtred-Ragnar relationship is just, it's so wonderful to me. Like, sibling bonds are always, they always just, like, get me right in my throat. So I'm ready for that, and I'm ready to see more of them, you know, working together. And, you know, it's going to take a lot because, like, okay, I'm trying to remember the episode, but they're not super clear on, like, how long Uhtred is on that ship. But in the right. In the books, it's 2 years. He's in slavery for Jesus. 2 years. So it's like, you know, this is really a turning point for Uhtred. And so I'm sort of ready to see how he comes back from this. I think it's a really important part in his development. And I'm also ready to, like, get back to Alfred. Like, I never thought that I would say this after season one, but Guthred sucks, and Alfred's at least compelling and interesting, and, like, I get what he's doing instead of just being, like, completely wishy-washy about everything. So, yeah, like, let's go back to Wessex. Northumbria sucks. Let's go back to Wessex.
Well, yeah, I think 2 years is insane.
Yeah.
Because that's like 20 years in medieval time, because you don't live that long.
Right.
So that's a big chunk of your life that's just, oof. I don't know how much time it's going to be in the show, but I remember it's definitely enough to, like, have an effect on him. So in that vein, I would like to see him be okay. Mm-hmm. I would like to see him survive. I want to see Halleck survive. Dude was like ride or die for him.
Well,
I know it's probably okay, Alyssa. I just, the tone of your voice, I get it. I'm preparing myself because nothing I want ever happens,
right.
But
yeah.
That's what I want. But more than anything, I want to see Hild and Ragnar kind of go on this adventure together, saving their bro.
Hell yeah.
Brita's going to come along.
What a powerful trio, Brita, Hild, and Ragnar. Like, oh my God.
The power they wield. I mean, they could just, like, totally change the world if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's fun. I always find it fun when you have like characters that are kind of on opposing sides. And that's what Hild's been with Brita and Ragnar. She's never been, you know, on their side or even like really kind of had a conversation with them or anything. But she's relying on them to like find Uhtred. And so they've got a common goal. And I love when enemies like join together for a common goal.
Oh, yeah.
That's like one of the tropes that really gets me.
It's so good.
So I want to just milk that thing for all it's worth this season.
Yeah. And I always enjoy kind of like odd couples, you know, characters that you would never throw together. And I wouldn't, you know, Ragnar and Hild are not, you know, the obvious choice, like a nun and a Viking lord. Like, come on. And it's always, I love odd couples and it's so good. So good. I'm excited. So The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our Arsling of the Week is the character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. Jessica, who is your Arsling in this episode?
Okay, so I'm going to give a shout out to Halleck.
Yeah.
Most of the time when we see him, he's kind of drunk off his ass or he's following Uhtred around like a little puppy. He doesn't command a lot of power or weight on the show, but this episode, he was able to kind of get away from the drink a little bit, mm-hmm. not be so white girl wasted, and
put
really
down the white
claw. Come through.
Yeah.
Put down the white claw. He came through and he noticed that those ugly Danes were at their dinner table and was like, "What's happening?" And he saved Uhtred's eye, and that's something. Mm. And then, you know, Uhtred kind of gets sold off into slavery, and Uhtred's over here, kind of. He does. He's over here like, dude, don't take it out on this man. Halleck's my friend. He hasn't done anything to anyone. And Halleck's like, no, bro. Like, if you're going on that ship, I'm going on that ship.
Yeah.
Is it probably the last decision he ever makes? Sure. But He's a low-key ride or die, and I really appreciated that this episode.
Listen, you're right. Halleck, he deserves...
I know.
You're right.
End of episode.
You know, he deserves, like, all the praise that we can give him, but I'm going to go ahead and pick Citric. You know, he becomes, like, so integral to the team so quickly. And like you said earlier, like, I completely forgot that he was Kjartan's bastard. So,
right?
Yeah.
Like, my jaw dropped when he said, just nonchalantly throws that out there.
Right. I completely forgot that because, you know, we see how, like, how far he comes and how important he becomes to Uhtred. And what I like about Citric is, like, this is a guy who wants to be better than his upbringing. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he's willing to do the work to make himself into something that he can actually be proud of. You know, like, he doesn't just want to be known as Kjartan's bastard son. Like, that's just that name and that sort of title is going to follow him around forever. He wants to be a good and honorable man, and he sort of sees working with Uhtred as a means to accomplish that. And I, you know, I love it when a sort of baddie tries to make himself better, you know? It's something that I always enjoy, so hell yeah, I'm on board. Team Citric.
I mean, it definitely, like, proves, like, it's not all about nature.
Right.
It's about nurture, too. So however, like, Citric was raised,
right.
was so different from Sven, and you can tell that.
Right.
So, yeah,
he and Sven are
totally
technically brothers. What? That's
brothers.
That's crazy. That's crazy to me.
The genes are much better with Citric's side, I think.
Yeah, he must have had a really good mom.
So get ready to shame Nunn, the worst character of the episode, with us. It doesn't matter if you're a Saxon or a Dane. Anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the episode. So, Alyssa, who were you just could not stand this episode?
All right. Well, this was an episode full of shitheads. Like, everybody's scheming.
To put it bluntly.
Right. Bunch of shitheads. But I'm going to go with the abbot. Adrid, like, this was such a backstabber, and he was so dishonest in his, like, you know, the way he wanted to achieve his goals. You know, instead of being straight with Guthred about what he wants, like, obviously he wants more power, Christian dominion, an alliance with Aelfric and Bebbanburg, and, like, all that comes along with that. He just starts this whisper campaign and sort of manipulates everyone around him into compliance. You know, if you're going to be such a snake, just be upfront about it. Like, own your evilness. So that guy, and then you've got, like, you know, Brother True the Narc, who's, like, totally down to do his dirty work. Those guys, just, like...
Also, like, what a peeping Tom.
What a peeping
Tom! Listening outside the tent.
Jesus!
And Hild had to be like, Brother True, you good?
Yeah.
And it's like... dude.
Right. Yeah.
That's gross. That's,
ugh. Yeah. It's not cute. It's bad.
Be less skeevy.
It's just the skeeviness level. It's through the roof. So, yeah. Those dudes. Fuck them.
He believes himself to be above each one of us, and he is loved by the men. They will follow him. I have to say, I worry that Bebenberg will not be enough for such a man. She's a warrior. Warriors crave war.
Agreed. It's a tie for me this week, so definitely the Abbott and all of that shit. I think what's worse, for me at least, the priests, when they do their kind of plotting and they do their shitty behavior, mm-hmm. there's an end goal. They're working towards something, you know? Yeah. They've got some schemes. Mm. So Guthrie,
they have their 5-year plan.
Right. Exactly. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
With someone like Guthrie, he just totally buys everyone's bullshit.
Yeah.
It feels like he is just constantly wanting to please, wanting to impress, wanting to prove that he deserves to be king. And maybe that's because of, you know, how he grew up and that slave life. Totally get it. But I feel like this episode, choosing to listen to Siegfried and Eric, choosing to listen to the priests, and just totally, you know, negating everything Uhtred ever, like, tells you, when this is a guy who saved your life.
Yeah.
And stuck his neck out for you when he did not have to. I mean, that just says so much to me about a person. Mm. It's such a choice and such a bad look to sell the guy who freed you from slavery back into slavery. I mean, it's just, like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, like so, I said, episode full of shitheads. They're all, you know, they're all worthy of being called a turd this week. That's for damn sure. Now, this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2019. The world is on fire. Honestly, we deserve this. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this episode. Jessica, how you doing?
Well, I mean, amidst all the steaming piles of shit in this episode, there was some sexy time in a tent. It's really nice because Uhtred seems to always be upping his game. So, you know, Brita got humped by a fire. Isolde had to do it in the woods during wartime. But Gisela has graduated and she's getting it on in a tent. Fully enclosed.
Romp, she gets a ceiling. Nobody's gotten a ceiling before.
We're getting a ceiling. We're getting furs. We're getting, like, sides to your tent. No one can just, like, see what you're doing. Mm. Yeah, she's really making out. My question, though, for this sexy time scene that we have, does Uhtred, like, have a magic dick? Mm. Like, okay, so I'm assuming, I know it was Isolde's first time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Brita's. Maybe not.
I think it was Brita's first time. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think that would be out of the realm of possibility, right, that it would have been her first
time. That first time by the fires, I got the impression that it was her first time. Possibly even Uhtred's first time, because they were both supposed to be like 17 or whatever at the time.
Yeah.
So.
And they've grown up together. I mean, there's not a lot of other people around to get it on with. Right. So that would make sense. But it's definitely Gisela's first time because we talk about her virginity quite a bit this episode.
Yuck.
So, yeah, gross. It's just like all of these women seem to kind of enjoy their first time. And I'm like, dude, is he like dickmatizing them like for reals? Like there's something about his like, you know, it's, package that's
right,
like
it's
really working.
Yeah. Look, listen. Uhtred is clearly learning as he goes, and Gisela, you know, she's reaping those rewards. She's having a better time than everybody else, I think. So good for you, girl. That's why you waited out a little bit and, you know, let him acquire some experience. So
that's right.
So, but there was one moment that I really want to talk about because it really stuck out for me and I loved it. When Uhtred is waiting for her in the tent and she sees him, when he tells her, "I will leave if you wish."
"I will leave if you wish."
"I do not wish. And you cannot stay."
Listen, our boy understands consent, and that is sexy as hell. Because I feel like...
So true.
Because I feel like all of, you know, the arguments against enthusiastic consent, everybody's like, well, if you, like, ask, then it comes off as, like, you know, not assertive and wimpy, and it's not sexy. False. I think that is just such a bullshit argument. And making sure that your partner is on board is not going to kill the romance. It's really, really not. And if Uhtred can understand this in 860 or whatever year it is right now, maybe 880, I think, is a little bit later. Like, men can learn this today. They really can.
Yeah, it reminds me of that episode, I don't know if you've seen it, of New Girl.
Yep.
When they're talking about their first times, and it's like every it's prom night, and everything this kid does to Jess, he's like, "Do I have your permission?
Yeah.
Do I have your permission?" And she ends up getting so pissed.
Right.
But that's not it.
That's like, not
we're
it.
We're not saying every step you've got to say, "Do I have your permission?"
Right.
But like the fact that Uhtred like just starts off this whole encounter by saying,
"You're in control
if you want me to
here."
Go,
right.
Yeah. That's sexy. Like that's, you know, don't. Yeah. It's I'm going to get annoyed if you keep fucking asking
right.
me every time like you take off a piece of clothing.
Sure. And understand.
But if I'm giving you.
Yeah. And understand the cues from your partner. Like if someone is clearly
right.
uncomfortable, that's a different thing. But like, I don't know, asking and making sure everything is kosher. Like that's a good thing. And Uhtred
yes,
proves that.
100%. Read the room. Know your partner. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you're not sure, then ask.
Right.
Like I. Always ask.
Yeah.
Just always ask.
Yeah. It's not okay. It's not hard, but, you know, it like, seems to be difficult.
Like, we're, like, becoming, like, a PSA.
I know.
Like,
PSA.
Always ask.
Consent is sexy. No means no, you know?
It is.
It's true.
We'll use, like, this kingdom, the last kingdom, this episode,
right.
as the PSA for consent.
Yeah.
Teaching
teens about consent. It's great.
All right, guys, I think it's safe to say we've never been accused of being unenthusiastic in our fandom. We annoy our friends, our family, and now you are devoted listeners. Welcome to Geek Out, where we will offer up our humble suggestions about what we think you should be reading and watching. Alyssa, you go first this week. What are you geeking out about? You go first every week, Alyssa. I don't know why I say that. But
it's fine.
Because your choices are probably much better than
not
mine.
Not true.
That's why we make you go
not
first.
True at all. For me, I'm kind of geeking out on Modern Love, which is on Amazon.
Yes!
I got screeners for it. It comes out, I want to say, on October 18th is when the episodes drop on Prime. But I watched the first 5 episodes, and most of them I really liked. There was one that was kind of like just fine, but most of them I really enjoyed a lot, in particular the one with Dev Patel and Catherine Keener, and then so good, just like what fucking talented people. And then there's one with John Slattery and Tina Fey that is also really, really wonderful.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah,
Tina Fey.
Yeah, it's like
to see her acting.
I know, I feel like we never see her anymore, and I miss Liz Lemon. But yeah, it's like an anthology series, so each episode tells a different story. I want to say there's 8 total in the season, and they're only about like a half hour long, so it's really like easily digestible, but not in a way that feels disposable, you know, like the stories mm-hmm. have a lot of meat to them for being so short. And it's just, it's really nice. I enjoy them. I sort of watched them in between binging Succession because I needed a break from the
for
backstabbing
sure.
a little bit. And this was a Oof. Nice little palate cleanser.
So, okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't Hot Priest in this one too?
Hot Priest is in a later episode. I have not seen him yet.
Okay.
But I know.
Because okay, I've seen the trailer
yes.
and I just zeroed in on him and I was like,
yes. Hot Priest is there. I know Andrew Scott is in a later episode, but I have not gotten his episode yet.
Okay. Well, Dev
I'm
Patel
sure it's wonderful,
is like
but...
hook enough. I mean,
yeah.
you're going to watch something if Dev Patel
I'm
is
so
in it,
excited. I'm so excited about his David Copperfield is coming out. I'm just going to watch the hell
oh
out
my God,
of it.
I cannot wait.
So good. I'm such a Dickens nerd. I'm such a Dev Patel stan. Like, give it to me now.
Seriously, the top hats.
The top hats and the hair. It's so good. So good. Anyway, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
Okay, so we are almost into October.
Yes.
It's going to be Halloween and Hulu-ween soon, which is why I'm super excited. So Hulu has an original movie coming out with Lupita Nyong'o, Oscar winner. And it is a zombie flick.
Oh, and I think I saw the trailer for this. She's the teacher,
Little
right?
Little Monsters.
Yes.
Yes. She's like a little... So she's like a school grade teacher. She takes her class on this field trip. Josh Gad from Frozen is there. He plays this like asshole TV personality that's kind of like hosting the class.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're having their little field trip, a zombie outbreak happens.
Amazing.
And they're forced to like protect these children. And it just looks so weird and so gory. And I just can't believe we're getting Lupita Nyong'o in a zombie movie. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love a good, like, horror comedy. Like, sometimes I can't handle, like, full-on horror, but a horror comedy, like A Cabin in the Woods or A Shaun of the Dead, I'm all there, 100%.
Yeah, give me some laughs
yeah.
while you're chopping off heads,
yes,
you know?
Exactly.
So, but yeah, Josh Gad looks like he plays like such a dick in this movie. So I'm really excited for that.
Right.
Because I loved him in Beauty and the Beast when he played that character. Aww. But I'm also just like excited to see, like, I don't know. It's nice to see, like, Lupita Nyong'o is such a good actress.
Yeah.
And she does drama so, so well.
I don't think I've ever seen her do a comedy.
No, that's what I'm like. I'm trying to remember if I've seen her do anything super funny like this. And I can't remember it being, like, this weird and this eccentric, so...
Yeah, yeah, I think...
I'm just excited to see her in something different.
Yeah, I mean, like, Black Panther has some quips like any Marvel movie, but it's not a comedy, so...
No, yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting. All right, guys. If you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out over on Twitter or at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. We've got links to everything below this episode.
And until next time, destiny is all, bitches.